Assalamu alaikum, brother. I'm Dr. Kamar Ara, and my question is, Christians explain the concept of Trinity as well as that God can take human form by giving the example that water can be present in three states, as solid like ice, liquid as water, and gas as vapor. Yet it is one and the same water. Similarly, a person can also be a father, a brother, a businessman at the same time, but yet he's one and the same person. So why not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
The sister has a question. Regarding Trinity, the Christians have the concept of Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The previous question was, I proved it, that from the Bible, Jesus, peace be upon him, never believed in Trinity. Now she gave an example. She's giving a human logic, asking a question, that if water can be present in three states, as solid, liquid and gas, as ice, water and vapor, when water can be in three states, why can't God be? Similarly, the Christian missionary posed the question, even God Almighty can be present in three forms, Father, Son and Holy Ghost. Now if you analyze, I do agree matter can be in three states, solid, liquid and gas. But you should realize that if water is present in three states, solid, liquid, gas, as ice, water and vapor, in all the three states, the constituent, the component of water is the same, H2O. Even if it's ice, the constituent and component is H2O. Even when it is water, it is H2O. Even when it is vapor, it is H2O. Even when it's ice, even when it is gas or liquid, it is H2O. That's very important. Now let's analyze the example they gave of Trinity. Father, Son and Holy Ghost. In three forms, if you say, for sake of argument, I agree. But are the constituent of all these three things, Father, Son, that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and Holy Ghost the same? We know very well that human beings have got flesh and bone. A spirit and God Almighty have got no flesh and bone. Human beings require to eat. God Almighty does not require to eat. And the same message Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, gave, it's mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24, verse number 39 to 43, that behold my hands and feet, if I myself handle me and see, that a spirit has got no flesh and bone as you see me have. And he gave his hands and feet. And they were overjoyed. To prove what? That he was not a spirit. He was not God Almighty. And the verse continues, do you have meat to eat? And the next verse says that he ate broiled fish and honeycomb. To prove what? That he was God? To prove that he was not God. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, a spirit has no flesh and bone as I have. Proving that he was not a spirit, he was not Almighty God. Regarding the second example. This is an example that a person can be a father, a brother, and a businessman at the same time. So why can't God be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It's a very good example. And I do agree that one person can be a father, can be a brother, and can be a businessman at the same time. Many people out here also may be father, brother, and businessman at the same time. But if suppose the sister of that man tells a secret to the brother, but naturally, even the father and businessman will know that secret because one and the same person. If a sister tells a secret to the brother, who is a father and a business at the same time, when the secret is told to the brother, even the father part of that man and businessman part of that man will know that secret. But when you read in the Bible, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 13, verse number 32, it says, of that day, of that hour, knoweth no man, no, not even the angels in the heaven, nor the Son of Man, but the Father. The knowledge of the hour of that day, no one knows Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, except the Father, not even the angels, not even himself. If Father, that God Almighty and Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, one and the same, and if knowledge of hour is known to God Almighty, even Jesus should know about it, peace be upon him. So this proves that they were not one. Further, if the brother dies, even the man and the businessman will die. If the brother dies, even man and businessman will die. So when Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, according to the Bible, according to the Christian, he died on the cross, do you mean to say even God Almighty and the Holy Ghost died?
Assalamu alaikum. I am the Riyaz Vatkaunkar and a businessman. So my question is, Allah is the most appropriate name for God. So besides Quran, is it mentioned in any other religious scriptures?
Therefore, the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained in my talk is an appropriate name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God. Is this name Allah mentioned anywhere else in the other religious scriptures? If you analyze, most of the religious scriptures have the concept of Almighty God. Somewhere or the other, most probably, one of the attributes of God Almighty is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if you read the Bible, in the Hebrew language, they call God Almighty as Elohim. Him is a sign of respect in the Semitic languages. So actually it is Elo. Elo for God. And if you read the Bible, Old Testament also, it says for God Elo or Ella. And in the English Bible, revised by Reverend Scofield, he gives the spelling of Ella as alternatively either as E-S or E-L-A-H or A-L-A-H. It's pronounced as Ella. Ella or Ella. A-L-A-H. We Muslims, when we write in English Allah, we write A-L-L-A-H. But Reverend Scofield wrote A-L-A-H. They pronounce Ella, we pronounce Allah. When I was in school, I was taught Do is what? Not do, it is go. I was taught beauty but, beauty cut, N-U-T nut, beauty, not but, but. I said, what sort of a language is this? He said, no, you have to say beauty but, not but. And if I have to pass the examination, even I say beauty but. Do is not do, it is go. Have to, because it's their language. Similarly, we know how to pronounce correctly Allah. They say Allah, he said no problem. The right pronunciation is Allah. Later on, when Reverend Scofield realized what he had done, that he is coming close to the Quran, maybe people took objection. In the revised edition, that thing is taken out. A-L-A-H is taken out. So now when you get the Scofield English Bible, only E-L and E-L-A-H is there. A-L-A-H is not there. But in spite of that, yes, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every Bible, yes, the name of Allah is there. Because, according to the Bible, when Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and he was crucified, it's mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 27, verse number 46, as well as the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 15, verse number 34, when he was put on the cross, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. So as to say, O God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you analyze and ask them, that what is Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? It's a Hebrew quotation. But it has been maintained. Even in the English Bible, it has been maintained. And then they translate, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. O God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some people say, the name of God is Jehovah. So I ask them, does Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani sound like Joha, Joha? Why has thou forsaken me? They say no. Does it sound like Jesus, Jesus, peace be upon him? Why has thou forsaken me? They say no. Hebrew and Arabic language are sister languages. If you translate Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani into Arabic, it is Allah, Allah, lama sabachthani. Does it sound similar? Yes. Why? Sister language. And the best part of it is that the Bible has been translated into more than 2,000 different languages. And in every language, this quotation is verbatim the same. Allah, Allah, lama sabachthani. Whether it's a Tamil Bible, Chinese Bible, Hebrew Bible, any Bible, this Hebrew quotation has been maintained and the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there in each and every translation of the Bible. This word Allah, the Guru Nanak, one of the attributes he gave to God, is Rahim. Also he gave Allah. If you read the Hindu scripture Upanishad, one of the Upanishads is called as the Allah Upanishad. And God Almighty has called by Allah several times. even in Rig Ved. Even if you read the Rig Ved, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the attributes, is given in book number 2, hymn number 1, verse number 11, the name, one of the attributes of God Almighty is Allah. They write it as I-L-A. But when you pronounce it, we have to tell them, pronounce it as Allah.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Haji Muhammad. Brother Zakir, you mentioned in your talk that Jesus never claimed divinity. But it is mentioned in the Bible that Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Does this not imply that he claimed divinity?
Well, that was the question that I said in my talk. That nowhere does the Bible say that Jesus, get peace be upon him, claimed divinity. And they give a quotation of the Bible that Jesus said, I and my Father are one. What the brother is quoting is a verse from the Bible in the Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verse number 30, which does say, I and my Father are one. But when you ask the Christian missionaries, that what is the context? I have not yet met a Christian missionary who can tell you the context without opening the Bible. He knows I and my Father are one, but he doesn't know the context. For example, if I quote to someone that the Quran says do not pray, most of the Muslims will be shocked. What I am saying. And if you open it up, they do not pray, but it's half the verse. Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse 43 says, do not pray with your mind before. Do not pray when you are intoxicated. So the only quote, do not pray, if you mean Quran says don't pray, half the quotation. So for context, I and my Father are one, you have to go to Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verse number 23, and I'm quoting from my memory, that Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, verse number 24. Says, and the Jews came around him and asked him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse number 25 says, I told you, but you believe me not. The work that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse number 26 says, that you believe not, because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. The Jews, they were asking Jesus, get peace be upon him, that why don't you speak plainly? So he tells them that, yes, I am the Messiah. I have told you clearly, but because you are not my sheep, you don't believe in me. Verse number 27 continues. Jesus, get peace be upon him, continues saying that my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, that I give them eternal life, no man can cut them out of my hand, and they shall not perish. Verse number 29 says, my Father who giveth to me, he is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then verse number 30 says, I and my Father are one. Any person who has a little bit sense can make out, I and my Father are one, doesn't mean one as one person. It means one in purpose. Verse number 28 says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Jesus Christ, please be upon his name. No man can pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29 is saying, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse number 30 says, I and my Father are one. In purpose. Both Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and Almighty God, they are one in purpose. If I say that my Father is a doctor, and he is a doctor, alhamdulillah, even I am a doctor. If I say, I and my Father are one, what does it mean? It means one in purpose. As medical profession, my Father is a doctor, even I am a doctor. It doesn't mean that I and my Father are one. It means my Father is a medical doctor, even I am a medical doctor. But Christians say, no, it means one, actual unity. So we say, okay, use the actual unity, let's read further. If you go ahead in the Gospel of John, chapter number 17, verse number 21, it says that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said that we all of them are one. My Father in me and I in thee, we all are one. Does it mean that God Almighty is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is in all his 12 disciples? So there will be 14 gods. Jesus Christ, God Almighty and 12 disciples. The same one is used there and here. If you go to the source, the same word is used. If you go to the Greek, same word is used. So does it mean you have 14 gods? And among those disciples, Judas was a traitor. Even he's God. Thomas doubted Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Is he God? Peter, Jesus Christ says, he's Satanist. Is he also God?
No. All of them, God Almighty, Jesus Christ and the apostles, are one in purpose.
They are same.
Again, if you go 2 verses ahead, Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 23, says that I am in thee and you and me. He tells the disciples.
Does it make all of them God?
No. It means one in purpose.
But then Christians will say, okay, I have quoted the first part. Why don't you quote after that? After verse number 30, Gospel of John chapter 10.
Let's go ahead.
Gospel of John chapter number 10, verse number 31 says, and Jews picked up stones again to stone at Jesus' feet upon him. Verse number 32 says, and Jesus' feet upon him asked them, for which of the good works of my Father do you stone me? Verse 33 says, that we don't stone you for any good work, but because you blaspheme, being a man, call yourself God, that's why we stone you.
What about them?
I'm reading from my memory. Any person wants to check up, can check up. It's there in the Bible. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 23 onward, I'm quoting. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, gives the answer. The Jews say that, see, he's trying to blaspheme, calling himself God. Good riddance, they want to kill him. Good riddance. The Christians say, oh, the Jews called him God Almighty. See, they understood him correctly for redemption. One wants for redemption, they're calling him God. The other group of people for good riddance. But the answer is given in the next verse. Verse number 34 of John chapter 10, Gospel of John chapter 10, says that, is it not mentioned in your scriptures that ye are God? And if the person to whom the word of God came, if he says God, the scripture is not broken. If you check up in the Bible, in the Psalm chapter number 82, verse number 6, does say that ye are God. So Jesus Christ gave the answer that the person to whom the word of God came, if you call him God, it is not blaspheme. It is meaning that they are one in purpose. Hope that answers the question.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasin. I am a software engineer by profession. My question is, the Hindu pundits and scholars agree that the Vedas and other Hindu religious scriptures prohibit idol worship. But initially, because the mind may not be mature, therefore an idol is required for concentration while worshipping. After the mind reaches higher consciousness, the idol is not required for concentration. What do you have to say about this?
Before I ask the question, the Hindu pundits and scholars, they agree that the Vedas is against idol worship, against making image of Almighty God. But they give the logic that initially, because the mind is not matured, we require idol to concentrate. Later on, when you reach higher consciousness, idol is not required. If this is the logic, I would like to say that we Muslims have already reached the higher consciousness. We don't require any idols to concentrate on Almighty God. We have already reached the higher consciousness, if this is the logic. But now let's analyze. Once I was having a discussion with a Swami from ISKCON, Hare Ram Hare Krishna, you know, it's there in Bombay. Hare Ram Hare Krishna, he came to IRF and we were having a discussion on idol worship. He gave me the example that with the Zakir. See, when your son asks you, why does it thunder? So you tell him that I Mata Ki Pishtiye. That is the grandmother in heaven, she is grinding flour. Why? Because the child is innocent, can't understand. Therefore we give this. Similarly, human beings, because they are immature, initially idol is allowed. Later on when they get mature, idol is not allowed. So I tell them, and I told this Swami from ISKCON, Hare Ram Hare Krishna, that I will never tell my child, when he asks me why does it thunder, that I am Mata Ki Pishtiye, grandmother is burning flower. You know why? Because to tell a lie is haram. It is wrong to tell a lie in Islam. You cannot, even if it's a white lie, you can't say. In extreme cases, certain cases, someone puts a gun and you lie, that's a different thing. Otherwise, normal circumstances, why should a person lie? Because if I tell my son that I am Mata Ki Pishtiye, grandmother is burning flower in heaven, when he goes to school and when the teacher teaches him that the thundering after lightning is due to expansion of rapidly heated air, he will think the teacher is lying. And afterwards, when he comes to know the fact, he will say, my father was a liar. I am a kid. So this is the problem, that why should we say such wrong things? And this philosophy is common amongst all the human beings. Common. Most of them, if not all.
And you know, we have like those people who stay in a building. Like when they play with the children, you know, they throw the toy out. Kawa leke gaya. Throw has taken it, you know. You do the action of throwing the toy out of the building, kawa leke gaya. And you find even your child is throwing out toys. And then when you ask these parents, why are your children throwing out toys? So everyone does, sab log karte, sab children fikte. The mother will tell, all the children throw out toys. So my child throws, what is great? All the children don't throw. It is because most of the parents do this trick. Kawa leke gaya. So even he wants to do that trick, and he throws it out. My son, alhamdulillah, we are staying in 9th story. 9th story in Nazgon. My son has never thrown any toys. You know why? I have never played the trick with him. Kawa leke gaya. So you teach wrong things and your child remains following wrong things. Best is to give the answer. Simplify. Simplify and give the answer. To the best of the understanding, I know the child many things don't understand. Give the answer in a simple way. But if you don't know the answer, you should have the guts to tell the truth, I don't know. But most of the children, especially nowadays, they won't take the simple answer. If I tell my son I don't know, he will tell me, Abba, why don't you know? So what happens, then we have to do our homework. We have to go and find the answer. It educates us as well as our children. But never tell a lie. You can never let your child grow up on falsehood. There are other pundits, when I have discussions, they give me the examples. Let's keep the Zakir. We do know that Vedas are against idol worship and it's wrong to do idol worship. But initially standard one, because the mind is unmatured, idol worship is fine. But when they graduate, then idol worship is not required. So I tell them that if a person goes to school in standard one, the fundamentals, the basics of any subject should be strong. If the basics and fundamentals are strong, in future even the structure will be strong. If the basics are not strong, the structure will not be strong. So if a teacher teaches in standard one, in mathematics, 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. Even after he goes to standard 3, 4, 5, when he passes school, when he becomes a graduate, even if he does PhD in mathematics, yet 2 plus 2 will always remain 4. He may learn trigonometry, algebra, logarithm, but the basics of arithmetic addition, 2 plus 2, will remain the same. If the teacher teaches wrong things, 2 plus 2 is 5, or 2 plus 2 is equal to 6, in standard 1, what will happen to the student when he graduates? Therefore, the basics should always be strong. The fundamentals should always be strong. And these scholars, they know very well, the fundamentals of the Vedas are regarding concept of God, that God has got no image. You cannot make any idol of God. That's the fundamentals. I ask these people that if you know that the followers of a religion are doing wrong things, it's your duty to correct them. If your son says 2 plus 2 is equal to 5, will you keep quiet? In standard 1, you say, no, no, let him graduate, then I tell him that 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. Will you say that? You will correct him initially. You won't wait till he graduates. As much as you can explain, you explain. So if they know the Vedas are against idol worship, it's their job to tell the people that this is the fundamental of faith. Even in the initial stages, you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without an idol. Hope that's okay.
Now we would allow one question on the slip and one on the mic in continuing in a clockwise rotation, so that we give an opportunity for the people who have taken the trouble to write the question on the slip. One question on the slip, then on the mic, again on the slip, then on the mic, again on the slip, then on the mic. The question is, when all believe in one God, why people fight in the name of God and in the name of religion?
Person asked the question that if all the people, all the human beings, or most of them, believe in one God, believe in one type of religion, why do they fight? Why are there so much of infighting, riots, etc.? No religion, which I know of, tells that people should fight with each other unnecessarily. No religion says that. Neither the Quran, neither the Veda, neither the Bible, unnecessarily should not. And the Holy Quran says in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 32, if anyone kills any human being, unless it be for murder or creating mischief in the land, it is as though you have killed the whole of humanity. Quran does not say to kill a Muslim, you have killed the whole of humanity. If you kill any human being, unless it be for murder or creating mischief in the land, it is as though you have killed the whole of humanity. So no religion teaches that people should fight with each other unnecessarily. Suppose people are trying to oppress you, then most of the religion says that you should put that oppressor back in its place. Quran says that, Quran, Surah Tawbah, that if the people try to drive you out of your house, out of your faith, out of your land, then you can fight them for self-defense. Even the Gita, the whole Bhagavad Gita, it is known as the nectar of the Vedas. Lord Krishna, he is giving advice to Arjun that see, you fight for the truth. Even if the opposite people are relatives, don't stop. If they are in the wrong, you fight. The Quran says in Surah Isra, chapter 17, verse 81, وَقُلْ جَعَ الْحَقْ وَزَاتَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ قَانَ ذَوْكَ رُنَزُلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا وَشِفَاءُ رَحْمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا إِذُ ظَالِمِ اللَّهَ خَسَارًا. That when truth is heard against falsehood, falsehood perishes. For falsehood is by its nature bound to perish. The Quran is a healing and mercy for those who believe. It was revealed in stages. But for those who are unbelievers, there is nothing but loss after loss. So basically, no religion tells you to fight, unless in self-defense. Even the police kills the robber in self-defense, kills the criminals. But normally, under normal circumstances, people should not fight. But yet I do know that people fight. Why is a big question. You know what the reason? The reason is people fight for power, for material things. The politician, he won't vote. What does he do? He instigates a riot. A riot. And then you get marginalized. And then Hindus vote Hindu, Muslim vote Muslim. Politician. If a builder wants a land, you can't acquire the land because there are 1,000 huts there. What does he do? He instigates a riot on the basis of religion. The huts are burned down and then he builds a big building on that land for money. So these people, for power, for money, for material requirement, these people, they instigate the riots. Otherwise, the common Hindu, the common Muslim, alhamdulillah, we love each other. We love our non-Muslim brothers. Bombay, you know Bombay, even during partition, there was not such a riot as we had a couple of years ago. Engineered by whom? Politicians. Politicians engineered it. All because for power, for material desire. Otherwise, no religion says that we should fight with one another. We do know. We have similarities. We agree with that. We have differences also. But a politician, in front of everyone, he says, Ram bhi khuda, Allah bhi khuda. Front of him. And behind he goes an engineer. Right. See, we don't believe in pseudo-secularism. If suppose two people are there, one person is saying 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. The other person is saying 2 plus 2 is equal to 5. That does not mean, oh, he says a good man. 2 plus is also equal to 4. 2 plus is also equal to 5. I am a very dead fuck, secular person. What secular? Hypocrisy. I should have the guts to say, see, what you are saying 2 plus 2 is equal to 4 is right. What you are saying 2 plus 2 is 5 is wrong, but I will not fight with you. I will tell you the truth, I will not fight with you. Then the Quran says in Surah Kafirun, chapter 109, verse 1 to 6. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. Say to those who reject faith, I will not worship what you worship, nor will you worship what I worship. I will not be worshipping that which you want me to worship, nor will you worship what I worship. To you is your way, to me is mine. To your religion, to me is mine. I will present the truth to him. Why? Don't do idol worship. Don't have wrong concept of God. Yet if you have, lakum deenukum waliyaddeen. To you is your way, to me is mine. The Holy Quran says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse 256. Like a hafid deen, there is no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. If you hold the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will take you from darkness to light. If you hold the hand of the evil one, the devil, he will take you from light to darkness. The choice is yours. But no religion says that you should fight with each other unnecessarily. Hope the answer.
My name is Sushil Karamputkar, official photographer, All India Radio, Vivid Bharati Service and Bombay Doordarshan Channel. I have visited holy country of Islam, that is Saudi Arabia, 3 times and spent nearly 4 years in Saudi Arabia and watched Islam from closer distance. Now, Dr. Jatinek, my question is, there is a Muslim blind person. His one eye is replaced by eye donated by a Hindu person. His kidney, one kidney is replaced by kidney donated by a Christian person. And his heart is replaced by a heart donated by a Parsi gentleman. Such a Muslim person will be allowed to perform prayers in the mosque.
So, I ask the question that he has been to Saudi Arabia and one person is eyes from a Hindu or heart from a Christian and kidney from so and so, various things. So, having eye from another religion, heart from another religion, can he offer salah in the mosque? The answer is that according to Islam, every human being is born as a Muslim. Every heart is a Muslim. Every kidney is a Muslim. Every eye is a Muslim. What is the meaning of Muslim? Muslim is a person who submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every heart submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm talking about organic heart. Organic heart, huh? Organic heart, it pumps blood. The heart of the Christian pumps blood. The heart of a Muslim pumps blood. The heart of a Hindu pumps blood. The heart is a Muslim. Talking about the organic heart. Eye. The organic eye is a Muslim. But you see wrong things. I'm sorry, I'm not telling you. You, me too. The human being sees wrong things. So human being is to blame. But the eye sees. The eye is following the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kidney is doing its job. It's purifying. It's a Muslim. So whether heart taken from a person who is born in a Hindu family or Christian family, every heart is a Muslim, every eye is a Muslim, every kidney is a Muslim, he will be very well allowed to play in a mosque. But even if a non-Muslim wants to come to the mosque, he is most welcome. Our beloved Prophet, he has discussion about concept of God. Time will permit me, the revelation of Surah Ikhlas, the touchstone of theology, which I gave to everyone, was revealed when he was having a discussion with the Christians in the mosque. And they asked him, who is Allah? What can you think? The Quran says you convert all the trees into pens, all the ocean into ink. What will he say, Rahman, Rahim? What answer can he give? The direct revelation came. Kul, tell them. Kul hu Allahu ahad. Say is Allah one only. Allahu samad. Allah the after the eternal. Lam yalid walam yulad. He begets not nor is he begotten. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is nothing like him.
Next question from the slip is from Swati S. Malik. She is an engineer. As you mentioned in your talk that Hindus say sun, moon, snake and monkey is God. Basically, it's not like that. The Hindus don't believe that the above mentioned things are God. But we believe that God is everywhere. God is in each and everything. God is in quote, God is in air, in fire. Does Islam believe the same? If not, then why? What's wrong in this?
The question posed was that they believe that the moon, the sun, the tree, they are God, but God is present everywhere. Since God is present everywhere, therefore, we worship it. What does Islam believe? See, the Holy Quran says that wherever you turn your face, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is everywhere. But what does it mean? Are you talking Allah is present physically? First question is Allah physical? When Quran says Allah is everywhere, do you mean it is physical? My question is, what do you mean Allah is everywhere? Is it physical? If physical, if you believe Allah is physical, then you should be able to see. No, I can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not physical. The knowledge of Allah is everywhere. The knowledge of Allah is everywhere. Allah has power over all things. But physically, He's not everywhere. First of all, is God physical? So therefore, the Quran gives the logic. In Surah Shura, chapter 42, verse number 11, Laisa kamithli shay. There is nothing unto him. Nothing like whatever unto him. So if you give physical nature to God, that's the reason you worship the idol. So I'm telling you, the moment you worship the sun, do you mean to say God is only there, nowhere else? So even if I agree with you, okay, you say God is every mistake of argument, I agree with you. But then you worship only small part of God. The tree, very small in the full universe. That means indirectly you are saying, well, God is so small.
only in the tree, only in the snake. So therefore, if you have to worship, worship the true God Almighty. Even though His knowledge is present everywhere, He is present everywhere, not in the physical form. Hope that answers the question.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Brother Zakir Naik. My question is regarding the form of Allah. Surah number 39, Zumar, verse 67. The translation says that, and on the day of resurrection, the whole of the earth will be grasped by His hand, and the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. There is also an hadith in support of this, Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 6, hadith number 336. Can we just imagine some form of Allah?
This is not the question, and Surah Al-Zumar says, it's correct, Quran does say that, that on the day of judgment and resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold all the creation and various verses in the Quran, etc. But if you heard my talk, sister, I gave you the key word. The key to this concept is for Ashura, chapter 42, verse number 11, which says, Laisa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing whatever like Him. So if Quran says Allah has hands, people ask me that if Quran says Allah holds the sky, what do you mean He holds like that? If I say, I am holding my family together, do you mean to the 24th I am with my wife and my child? I'm not holding my wife and child always, yet I'm holding them, but I'm not holding them like that. These are words used. And whenever, as I said, if Quran says Allah sees and hears, you owe them Allah is here like us. He hears. How He hears? Allah Alam. Allah knows. He has a hand, but not like yours and mine. Five fingers. With nails. And with this. Not like that. He has a hand, yet He has a hand. How He has a hand? Walam yakullahu kuffan ahad. There is nothing like Him. How will He do it? Allahu Alam. He will do it for sure. Quran says He holds the right hand. He will hold it in the right hand. How He hold it? With five fingers or six fingers? I don't know. On the day of judgment, inshallah, you and I will witness that.
The next question from the slip. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Zakir. As Muslims, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Noor. We cannot attribute any form or gender to Him. Why then, when we speak of Almighty God, or as written in the Holy Quran, Allah is always referred to as He, a sister?
The sister asked a very good question, and this question has troubled me for several years. And she asked the question, Allah is Noor, He has got no form, no gender. So why is it written as Hua, as He? And this question I asked to various people, you know, in India and other scholars, but never got a satisfactory reply. Then I myself did little research and then I checked it up with the experts. But when I learned Arabic, the Arabic grammar has got only two genders, male and female. English language, three genders, male, female, neuter. So if we translate Hua into English, it can be translated as He or as It. Either He or It. Same as Hia. If you translate into English, it can be translated as She or It. That's Arabic language, two genders. English language, three genders. So Hua, if you translate, you can translate as He or It. Hia as She or It. So Hua, in English, we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond any gender. So why have used He? Some people may say that if Hua means He and It, and Hia means She and It, both means It. So why did Allah use Hua and not Hia? For Quran says, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Say, He is Allah one only. When I learned in grammar, in Arabic grammar, I was told that in the Arabic grammar, there are certain rules and criteria for feminine gender. Feminine gender. First, if it is feminine in nature, like mother, ummun, it becomes a feminine gender. Second rule, if it ends with ta, it is feminine gender, like nirvahatun, fan, ending with ta, it becomes feminine gender. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a female, so it can't be feminine. It is not ending with ta, is it ending with ta? No, so it can't be feminine. Third is, if you end with bara alif, then it becomes feminine. Allah doesn't end with Bala Alif, so it can't become feminine. And another one is the pair of the body, tools, the eyes, Ainun, feminine, Yadun, hands, feminine. Allah is Kul Huwallahu Ahad, saying Allah one only. It's not fair. So therefore, in defection, in default, since it can't be used as we are it, that she is, Allah uses who are it. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no gender at all.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Brother, my name is Ali Hussain. Now, in your talk, you have mentioned that, and even in your earlier talk, which I've heard, you have mentioned that Jesus in Bible is known as claiming divinity. Now, I have gone through a booklet which was propagating Christianity and implying that all the sufferings are healed by Jesus, peace be upon him. And it gave the reference that Jesus is saying, I am the Lord who heals you. And the reference also on Exodus chapter number 15, verse number 26. And even it went further saying that in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Now my interest is on the first reference where he's saying that I am the Lord who heals you. Now doesn't this imply or doesn't this indicate that Jesus is claiming divinity?
So just quoting Exodus chapter number 15,
verse number 26.
Verse 26, and Jesus said that I healed you. Whether Exodus is a part of the Old Testament. Old Testament. Jesus Christ never spoke in Exodus. Never. I said in my talk, there is not a single unequivocal statement in the whole Bible where Jesus, peace be upon him, himself says that he's God worship me. This is the Bible I've got by the Christian, King James Version. Everything what Jesus Christ spoke is in red. To check it up, this will never be in red. It is not the word of Jesus, it's word of somebody else. And even if I agree with you, for sake of argument, that Jesus did say that he healed. And the Quran does agree with that. And I said in my talk, we believe that he gave life to the dead with God's permission. He healed those born and blind with God's permission. So I've got no objection in agreeing that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, did heal the people. It's our faith, even we believe in it. But whatever he did, as the Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12, verse number 28, he cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11, verse number 20, with the finger of God he cast out devils. He did everything which bore witness of the Father. So I've got no objection in agreeing that Jesus did do miracles. But regarding Exodus, it's not the word of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Even if it is, I've got no objection. Because whatever miracles he did, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said that this is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 24, verse number 24, for there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets. And if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Miracle is not the test. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, it's mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 11, verse number 11, of those that are born of a woman, the greatest person is John the Baptist. Those that are born of a woman, the greatest person is John the Baptist. That means he was greater even than Jesus, peace be upon him, because Jesus was born to Mother Mary. So amongst all born of a woman, the greatest is John the Baptist according to Jesus, peace be upon him. Which miracle did he do? Not a single. Therefore, miracle is not the criteria to make him God.
We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making this program possible. On behalf of the Islamic Research Foundation, I thank all our guests, including the press, for attending the program. We also appreciate and thank all the persons involved in the organizing and recording of this event. Jazakumullah khairan.